Please open your Bibles to the book of Job. Job chapter 23 in your Scofield Bible, page 584. Job chapter 23, starting with verse 5, reading through verse 10. We'll read these verses responsively, and then we'll turn to yet one other verse. Job chapter 23, verses 5 through 10. The 10th verse is the text verse, page 584. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now turn to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, page 982 in your Scofield Bible. And we will read the third verse of the third chapter of Malachi. We'll read it in unison. Ready? Let's begin. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And let's pray. And Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity, the privilege, the freedom to come once again to this place. And our hearts do hunger. And Father, we pray that you'd not only satisfy the hunger of our hearts, but that you might help us to be doers of your word. Bless this service. Bless, we pray, our preacher very specially. Bless him today with your power and give of thy strength in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Job said, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to it, but I will turn to it and read just one little line to you. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. And here's my text. But when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I want to speak this morning on that last line, I shall come forth as gold. Job said, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And he said, not only that, I'm going to be gold when I get out of the fire. He said, I shall come forth as gold. Our Heavenly Father, help us as we examine all we think we can see in this passage. There's far more here than just I shall come forth as gold. Far more than just six words. There are many things that are said that we'll try to glean from this little line today. Bless us as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. It is not unusual for us to take a few moments to look at Job. Often we take a few moments and look at his plight in life. I guess most of us can identify with Job, though none of us has had the heartaches that he had. Most of us can in some way identify with at least one of the heartaches that he had. Maybe your body is racked by disease and you can understand or sympathize with Job or empathize with him maybe even because of your body being sick. Maybe you've had a reversal in business and you've lost a lot of money and your business has gone bad and you can sympathize and relate, identify with Job because of that area of his suffering. Or maybe you've had a mate who has forsaken you and left you. And maybe you can identify with what Job felt when his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Or maybe you've lost a child or a loved one who's very dear to you, and you can identify with Job as he sat by the grave of 10 children. Job, we know all about Job. Job was the fellow who was the most respected man in the East. And not only that, he was the greatest Christian in the world at that time. No doubt about that. Job was also a very wealthy man, but the time came when Job lost all of his wealth. Every single camel, every single donkey, every single lamb, all of his sheep and all of his oxen, everything was taken. But that isn't all. Job lost not only all of his wealth, he lost all of his children. Job and Mrs. Job had 10 children, and all of them were taken with one great tragedy. But that isn't all. Job lost his health. He developed the awful disease of elephantiasis, which is a form of leprosy, which meant that on every spot of his body, there was corruption oozing from his body. And Job was in such pain physically, he went down to the city dump, and there he sat in the garbage dump of the city, in the ashes of the dump, and got a little piece of metal called a potsherd, much like we'd call a knife. And he got that little piece of metal, and he sat there in the embers, the embers of the ashes, and that relieved his pain some. And then he got this little potsherd, a knife-like thing, and actually scraped his flesh to gain some relief from the awful pain. And at that time, his wife came and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But that isn't all. What he thought was his three best friends came, and each friend told Job that he had done something wrong and deserved the plight. Now, we've looked at him. Now, let's listen to him. Job, in all of this awful circumstance of life, Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." He said, no doubt about that, "My Redeemer liveth." And all of that, he said, "And all this mess is over, he's going to be standing there, that's going to be falling too. I know that he shall stand on the earth at the last day." That isn't all Job said. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job's wealth was gone. Job said, "Though he take my wealth, yet will I trust him." Job's children were gone. He said, "Though he take my children, yet will I trust him." Job's wife was gone. He said, "Though he take my wife, yet will I trust him." Job's health was gone. He said, "Though he take my health, yet will I trust him." Job said, "I don't care if he kills me. My faith and confidence is in God Almighty." And so he said that. Now, the most startling statement that he made, in my opinion, not the most powerful statement that he made, but the most startling statement that Job made, in my opinion, was our text this morning. Sitting there in the ash heap of the city, with his wealth gone, his wife gone, his children gone, his health gone, and his friends forsaking him, Job said, "I shall come forth as gold." He said, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, it is one thing to say this when you have passed through the fire. It's another thing to say it when you are in the fire. Anybody can say, "Well, bless God, I made it." Yeah, but Job didn't say that. He said, "Bless God, I'm going to make it." Job said, "When this is all over, I shall come forth as gold." Why don't you go home today, you folks that have burdens and heartaches, and look in the mirror and say, "I shall come forth as gold." Job said it right in the middle of his trial. He said, now there are six things I want to call to your attention this morning that he was saying that you won't find on the surface. The first thing he was saying, he's saying, "I am not going to mess up." Now, I do not know why you're in the fire this morning. You may be in the fire because God wants to use you, and you may have done nothing to deserve the fire. But you say this morning, "I shall come forth as gold." Or it may be that you're suffering punishment for something that you've done. And you're in the fire because you deserve to be in the fire. You can still say, "I'm not going to mess up. I'm coming out of this. I shall come forth as gold." Say it, businessman who's lost everything, "I shall come forth as gold." Say it, dear sick one, afraid to face tomorrow, I shall come forth as gold. Say it, dear one, facing financial reversals, I shall come forth as gold. Say it, dear one, with a loved one who's seriously ill, I shall come forth as gold. Here's Job sitting in an ash heap, his wife gone, his children gone, his friends gone, his health gone, his wealth gone, but Job said, Buster, you mark it down. You can count on one thing. I am coming through this. I'm coming through it. Now, it's up to you. You can turn back if you want to, but you can come through as gold. You can give up if you want to, but you can come through as gold. So Job was saying, I'm not going to mess up. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to throw up my hands and say, well, everybody's criticizing me anyway. I'll just go ahead and live like I want to. He's not saying that. Job's not saying, well, I haven't got any friends anyway, and I'm a reproach. I'll just give up. No, Job didn't say that. Listen, why don't you throw your shoulders back and say, bye, Cracky, I am not going to be washed up. I am going to make something out of my life. You may have ruined your life thus far, but you don't have to ruin it from here on in. You may have blown it in the past. You don't have to blow it in the future. You just throw your shoulders back and your chest out and say, I am a creature made in the image of Almighty God, and my Bible said I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me, and my Bible says we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, and no matter what you've done in the past, or how deep you've gone, or how much you've blown it, throw your shoulders back, throw your chest out, and say, bless God, I am going to come through this as gold. There's a second thing that Job is saying here. He's saying not only did he wasn't going to mess up, he's saying, secondly, he knew God was going to use him again. Hear me now. He knew God was going. He didn't say, I shall come forth. He said, as gold. As gold. He didn't just say, I'm going to make it. He said, I'll be gold when I get out of here. I'll be treasured when I get out of here. I'll be loved again. I'll be respected again. He said, I am going to come forth, but I'm coming forth as gold. God was going to use him. Now, I want to tell you something. There's no way, now get this carefully, there's no way that anybody is ever used of God without being in the refiner's fire and going through the fire. No way. I see a young man walking down this aisle, surrendering his life to preach. Please take the baby out immediately. Immediately, right quick like the baby's crying, please take him out. Baby, the nursery, we have nurseries for the babies. Look at me now. This is life or death. That's why we ought to focus our attention right here all the time. Listen carefully. I see a young man walk down the aisle. It's a light thing to you. He says, I'm surrendering to preach the gospel. Doesn't mean much to you. Oh, you're glad about it. But I see more than you see. I see that young man kneel at the altar. I see him stand here, read his name. I'm giving my life to preach the gospel. I know what's ahead for him. I see more than that young fellow. I see a pulpit out yonder someday. I see a great crowd of people like we have here this morning, or a smaller crowd or a larger crowd. And I see that young man someday as a seasoned veteran standing with the Word of God and wielding it like a sword to preach the message of redeeming grace. I see that. I stand up in front of the students at Hiles Anderson College and look out and see those young men who've given their lives to preach the gospel. I just don't. I see Spurgeons out there. I see Dwight Moody's. I see John Rice's. I see Lee Robertson's. I see Tom Malone's. I see great men of God. Those are not just a bunch of preacher boys. Those are God's men for the next generation. I mean, you got the Billy Sunday sitting out there somewhere. You got the John Rice is sitting out there somewhere. You got the Sam Jones is sitting out. And I see them, and I see a great man of God. I see him standing behind a pulpit with his Bible open. But I see more than that. Hear me? I see between this altar over here and that pulpit out there. I see something between. Somewhere there'll be a broken heart. Somewhere there'll be a broken body. Somewhere there'll be a burden he don't think he could, doesn't think he can bear. God never uses anybody as gold till the gold goes through the refiner's fire. The dross must be burned. And there's no other way. If you don't want to be used for God, if you don't want to go through the trials and heartaches of life, don't surrender to be used of God. There's no other way. When the gold is going to be used, The refiner puts that gold in the fire and sits there and watches that gold, and the gold has to go through the fire till all the dross is burned off. I'm simply saying that Job said, God is going to use me. Why? Because he's burning off the dross of my life, and God's going to use me even greater than he ever did before. I see a 15-year-old lad in the city of London, England, many years ago. His name was Charles Spurgeon. I see that 15-year-old lad going on a Sunday morning to visit a church. And he's trying to find God. He doesn't find him there. He goes to another place, another church across town the next Sunday. Tries to find God, doesn't find him there. One Sunday he's headed for a particular church and gets caught in an awful snowstorm. He cannot get to the church he's going to go to, so he stops at a little church in the snowstorm. 15 people show up. The preacher couldn't even make it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon walked in that building and sat in what they call the gallery, back in the back of what they call the gallery. And a layman stood up and spoke. And he was not a trained speaker. He was not a preacher by trade. He just stood up and spoke. And he turned to that scripture, look unto him and be saved. All ye ends of the earth, look unto him and be saved. He said, look unto him. He pointed back in the back and he said, young man back in the gallery, look unto him. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, 15-year-old lad dead. Now, wait a minute. I go from that gallery back there. I pass over and I see later on, as I see that 15-year-old lad, I see the great Spurgeon's tabernacle with 5,000 seats filled every Sunday, twice on Sunday, sometimes more. I see the greatest preacher of his generation, the prince of preachers of all generations probably. I see the great Spurgeon's, I see all of the sermons that have been in print and all the preachers he's influenced, and that little 15-year-old lad back there, I jump across and I go from that 15-year-old lad to see the great Spurgeon ministry. But wait a minute, there's something in between. Hold it. There's something in between. There's a wife for 15 years was an invalid. Don't shrink when God puts you through the fire. Rejoice! He's going to use you. 15 years. Spurgeon traveled, and he didn't have jet planes like we have today. Sometimes I read how many miles those fellows traveled. I traveled more miles in a year than Spurgeon traveled in his lifetime. But they didn't have jet planes and modern conveyances like we have today. And one day he came to his wife, and his wife began to complain about the fact you're alone so much. And she sat there in the wheelchair, an invalid. And Spurgeon said, honey, do you think when the Jew came and brought his sacrifice and put it on the altar that he complained about it? And she said, well, of course not. He said, then why should we complain when we place our sacrifice on the altar? I'm saying between that 15-year-old lad out there and that great pulpit, that crowd of people, there was a broken heart. Not only that, I see something other than a wheelchair and his wife for 15 years, an invalid. I see for many years, I see a town called Mentone, France. A place, a resort for sick people. And I see Spurgeon as his body began. And Spurgeon did not live as long as I have lived. And I see his body as it began to become more and more ill. And Spurgeon could hardly preach. And he longed to be in his pulpit. And I know how he felt, because I was out for 3 Sundays recently. And Spurgeon longed to be in his pulpit. And yet the more he suffered, the more powerful he got. And the more he suffered, the greater the crowds became. I'm saying between that 15-year-old lad and that packed building, there's got to be heartache and suffering. Look, stand up and rejoice today if you're going through the fire. God is going to use you like he's never used you before. I see more than that. I see a day when Spurgeon's own denomination took action against him. I see Spurgeon's own denomination meeting in London, England, and voting only 7 people of the delegates to the London Baptist Association. Only 7 of those delegates voted for Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And all across the nation, his name was anathema in as far as some preachers were concerned. I'm simply saying, if you're going to be used of God, you got to suffer. Don't shrink back. Endure it. Say with Job, when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. But there's something else here. Not only did he say, I'm not going to mess up, I'm going to make it through. Not only did he say, I know God's going to use me, because I'm coming forth not just out of the fire, I'm going to be gold when I get out of the fire. But third thing, he knew God was with him. Listen to me. Listen to me. Job knew about the refiner. Job could say, seen as many folks saw in those days, and sometimes even now. He knew what happened. The refiner had put a little piece of gold, unfinished gold with dross on it. He'd put it in that fire. He'd sit there beside that fire. He'd watch the fire burn and watch that gold. He never left that gold while it was in the fire, because he had to get that gold just at the right place. He got that gold just at the right place. Then he pulled it out of the fire. But I'll guarantee you one thing. The fire never burned without the refiner sitting right there by the fire. And blessed be God, you never have been in the fire in your life but what Jesus was right there beside you. He always is there. He's in the fire. Don't you recall that story in the book of Daniel? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the National Council of the Churches built a big golden image there. PTL Club worked on it some with them. And 700 Club and Southern Baptist had a part with it also. And the Northern Baptist worked. And they built that big old image of gold. And they said everybody has got to bow down and worship that image of gold or be cast in the fiery furnace. There are three Howells Anderson College students there named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, we're not going to bow down and worship that doll. We're not going to do it. Brother Howells would give us demerit if we did. We're not going to do it. And the king said, okay. He said, turn the thermostat up 7 times as hot. Put it in. Well, I love what they said. They said, be it known unto you, O king. Our God will deliver us. And then he said, but if not, they said, our God will take care of us, Buster. We hope. So the king put them in a fire furnace. There they were, salutatorian, valedictorian, and other dictorian, were in the fire furnace. And all of a sudden, the king came down and watched them. He said, "Wait a minute, hold it! Oh, you made a mistake! Hold it, hold it! Hey, only 3 of those fellows will be in there. There's a 4th one in there." And he said, he looks like the Son of God. Well, bless God, it was the Son of God. He is always with his people when they're in the fire. Always is. Always is. Jesus is always with you when you're in the fire. By the way, did you ever notice what was burned? Huh? None of their clothes were burned. And not a hair on their head was singed. For me, that would be no great miracle. But wait a minute. There was something burned. Hey, listen. The Bible says their bands were burned. That which bound them was burned. Here's a guy got a coat on. Coat doesn't burn at all. But he's got some bands on. He's got some... Handcuffs on. Yeah, that's hand clasp. Handcuffs on. And they just melt like that. Well, he's tied in ropes, and the ropes began to burn. Can you see the ropes burning right against the clothes? And the clothes don't even get any fire at all. Don't even get warm. That's what God's trying to do. God, he put you in a fire so you can burn the things that bind you. That's what he puts burn. That's all he burns. God's not going to burn you. He's going to burn that which binds you. God's going to burn that which keeps you from being what you ought to be. God's going to burn that keeps you from being the servant of God that He wants you to be. God sees a Spurgeon out there, but He has to burn the bands first. God sees a Dwight Moody, but He has to burn the bands first. God sees a Mrs. John R. Rice, but He has to burn the bands first. God sees a Susanna Wesley, but He has to burn the bands first. I dare you to show me any great man of God or any great woman of God in history that didn't have heartbreak, 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 heartbreak most of their life. Why? God has got to put you in the fire before God can use you. Job said, I shall come forth. I'm going to make it. That isn't all he said. He said, I'm going to come forth as gold. God's going to use me when I come forth. That isn't all he said. He said, God's going to be with me while I'm in the fire. You think it hurts you in the fire. Can you imagine how it hurts the refiner? Can you imagine how it hurts God? As God looks there and sees you in the fire and knows you're in pain and knows you're hurt and knows you're about to die and knows you don't know which way how to face tomorrow and feel you have the burden and the heartache, and God loves you more than all the loves of earth put together, and God doesn't want you to suffer, and God looks to you, parents know what I'm talking about, let me suffer, but don't let my children suffer. That's what God is saying. God is saying, I'm there with you. I hurt more than you hurt, but I want to use you, and I can't use you till I burn the bands off. Something else Job is saying. Not only is Job saying, I'm going to make it. Boy, I wish everybody in this house would say that today. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I shall come forth. Say it while you're in the fire. Don't wait till you get out of the fire and show how you thought it. No, don't think it. Say it out loud. Put yourself on the spot. Put God on the spot. Just say, by cracky. You don't have to say by cracky. You can say by George. Or holy cow, and have Harry Carey help you out a little bit. I'm simply saying, say, I shall come forth. They'll not stop me. I'll not quit. I'll not turn back. I shall come forth. But not only that, say, as gold. God's going to use me again like He's never used me before. Say it. And then He said, in saying, I shall come forth as gold, He's saying, God is with me. Number four. He knew God loved him. He knew God loved him. He didn't say, I shall come forth as iron. He didn't say, I shall come forth as tin. He didn't say, I shall come forth as brass. He said, God, hear me now, God never puts a piece of brass in the fire. God puts gold in the fire. If you're in the fire today, and God put you in the fire, that means you're something special. You're gold. You're gold. Listen, there are folks all over this building today. God knows they couldn't take the fire. God knows who can take it. God has to choose somebody to end up on top. God has to choose somebody to serve Him. And God comes along and says, there's a piece of brass. I can't use him. He couldn't do it. There's a piece of tin. But God said, I thought of some gold. Now that gold may not be ready to be used now, but that gold can be used, and the fire won't destroy that gold. Are you going through the fire? He loves you. He loves you. Are you facing the wall? He loves you. He loves you. Job said, as God to God, I'm like gold. Listen, men fight for gold. Men kill for gold. Wars are fought for gold. Prison sentences are served for gold. Gold is the most precious thing as far as man's concerned on the face of the earth. And when God decided to pave the streets of heaven with something that would make man rejoice and would sound good to man, God said, let's just pave the streets with gold. It's precious. God loves you. Oh, you say, Brother Howells, I'm having a tough time. God's forgotten me. Job said, God's forgotten. Job said, I look to the right hand, can't see him. Look to the left hand, can't see him. Look up, can't see him. Look down, can't see him. Job said, I can't see him. But he said, he's here. And he loves me as gold. Number five. He knew it would be more, or would not be more than he could bear. When Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold, he was saying, I can take it. You got it? I can take it. He was saying, this trial and this fire is not more than I can bear. I partially told this story at the college the other day, never got quite through with it. There's a man named Latimer back in the Reformation days who was a seasoned Christian. He had a friend, young friend, named Riley. Riley was a young Christian. Latimer and Riley both were tried and sentenced to die at the stake, be burned to death. They were placed in the jail, and as they looked out the jail, they could see the people building the stakes and building that which was going to burn, and they could see their places of execution where tomorrow morning they'll burn. They're in the jail. Latimer, the seasoned saint, and Riley, the young Christian, both of them going to die tomorrow morning. Latimer had peace, and he sang and praised God like Paul and Silas did in the Philippian jail. But Riley was nervous. He was scared. The young Christian was scared. And he was trying to light a candle so they could see in the dungeon that night. And as he tried to light the candle fell and burned him. And Riley began to scream, "I can't take it! I can't take it! I can't take it! I can't take it!" He said, "Look at there, I just got burned on the hand and I can hardly stand it. How can I stand being burned to death at the stake tomorrow? I can't take it! I can't take it!" The seasoned Saint Latimer came over and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Riley, God did not ask you to suffer a candle burn. So God has not given you grace to suffer a candle burn. But God has asked you tomorrow morning to give your life at the stake. And though you did not have the grace to suffer that little candle burn, when the flames come tomorrow morning, you will find the grace." And the next morning, that season, St. Latimer and that young Christian, Riley went to the stake. And people said, both of them sang the praises of God as they drew their last breath and as they were burned to death. Did you ever notice how that little things saw you worse than big things sometimes? Huh? I mean, maybe you got a child that's got an incurable disease and you don't cry about that as much as you do a cockroach that crawls across the floor. You know why? Because God didn't give you this grace to bear cockroaches. You're supposed to have that by yourself. The other day I was in a motel room. Looked over and a mouse was crawling across the... Say, "What did you do?" I got me something to hit him with and jumped up on the bed. Said, "You kill him? He wouldn't come close enough." Ah, let me tell you something. If God puts you in the fire, He will not suffer you to be tested above that you're able. "I can't take it." Oh, yes, you can. If you're in the fire, you can take it. Now you may not take it, but you can take it. You may crawl back, but you don't have to crawl back. You may quit, but you don't have to quit. Bless God, you can take the fire. And if you will take the fire, you shall come forth as gold. Number six and last. Not only did he say, "I'm not going to mess up, I'm going to make it." Not only did he say, "God's going to use me because I'm going to come forth as gold." Not only did he say, "God is with me," he knew God loved him. He knew it would not be more than he could bear. But number six, he said, he knew it would end when the time came. God's time. Quit your griping. Cancel your pity party. God wants to use you. And He can't use you unless you're hurt. He can't use you unless you suffer. He can't use you unless you go through the fire. One story and I'm through. A refiner was sitting by the fire, watching the gold, a piece of gold, as it was being refined by the fire. Someone came up and they were intrigued as he just stood to sit there and watch the gold, just like God sits there and watches you and keeps His eye on you. And this person was intrigued by him and he said, "Could I ask you a question, Mr. Refiner?" The refiner never took his eye off the gold, but he said, "Yes, you may." Never looked to see the man, just looked at the gold. He said, "How long will that gold have to be in the fire?" And the refiner suddenly turned and looked at him. And he said, "It'll be in the fire until I can see the reflection of my face in the gold." I hope that the times that I've been a little bit of fire, I hope that Jesus has seen His reflection. I hope that somebody has said, "I saw a little Jesus in him." That's what God's doing to you. That's why you have your disease. That's why you have your broken heart. That's why you face your burdens and trials. This morning, instead of saying, I shall run back as yellow. Say, I shall come forth as gold. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father,